A reading from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all these things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
Thank you, Maha. Beautifully read. Isn't it a great story as well? We're quite familiar with it, aren't we? Whether that's through nativity plays or through just having heard it year in, year out. But Christmas Day this year is different, isn't it? Perhaps like me, there's a real struggle and a real sadness about not being able to spend time with grandparents or other members of our extended family. Or perhaps, like me, you're actually really missing the church family and being able to gather and have a face-to-face celebration of this really important festival. In the spirit of Christmas thankfulness, it is really important for me to be grateful, and for you as well, to be grateful for all of these technologies which allow us to still connect with each other. But it's also okay for us to express that feeling of loss and the exhaustion of doing online conversations, whether it's Zoom or Facebook or WhatsApp or whatever else, because it just isn't the same as seeing one another in the flesh. And although this situation is one we've never found ourselves in before, I'm finding the Christmas story particularly has poignancy and profound truth around that particular issue about being in the flesh. You see, physical presence has power. If we're feeling sad or lonely and someone gives us a hug, then we feel the love in a physical way as well as through their words. We are comforted more powerfully because it is word and physical action and connection. If perhaps there's a family member that we had an argument with or a disagreement with recently or even a long time ago, when we see each other face to face and we meet, there is something about our whole body language which communicates our sorry in a way that enables people to both see it and makes the conversation perhaps a little easier. If there's a friend going through a hard time and we surprise them by just turning up at their house as a way of giving them support and encouragement, the impact of that physical presence of being alongside them, being with them, even just sitting in quietness and doing ordinary tasks each and every day, the impact of that physical presence is far greater than if we had sent them an email or a letter or anything else with exactly the same words. And so what we see here in our own experience is that physical presence is more powerful
than any other form of communication. And that's really what Christmas is about. The name Emmanuel tells us so. It's God reaching out to humanity with his physical presence. Throughout the Old Testament, God sends all of these messages of love and hope, of forgiveness and restoration and joy. Angels come to speak to people. Prophets give the messages of God. And many other ways in which we see God communicating his faithful truth and love and hope and promise. All of God's very best intentions and values and core character are expressed in a myriad of ways. But throughout history, we see in the Old Testament times that people struggled to understand it. They struggled to believe it or to hold on to that belief. And so Christmas is that time when we celebrate God doing the most incredible, unfathomable thing. The divine God stepped into human form so that he could be physically present with us, so that he could reach us powerfully and in the most important, profound and holistic way to show us and tell us and communicate with us in a physical way that God loved us and still loves us, that God was able to do something about our separation from him. He, in Jesus, was able to bring us back together. And what we see in the rest of Jesus' life is the outworking of that incarnation. Physical understanding of our human struggles. Jesus understands what it is to go through difficulties, to live under an oppressive government, to have no safety in his own home, or to expect fair treatment from those in authority. His physical presence to these things when he was born enables him to draw close to those people who are experiencing them now, those who today live with corrupt leaders, the fear of attack on their homes, or the grief of being forced to leave their own homes as a refugee. His physical presence, his incarnation, Jesus being born, means that his love reaches them in understanding and shared experience. What we see from the shepherds is that physical expression of interest and concern in ordinary people. Jesus became a baby born among animals, first witnessed by a group of sleep-deprived shepherds. Why? So that they would have a visual, tangible sense of God's interest and concern for them. The angels announced Jesus' arrival, which was glorious. But it was the baby himself whom they could see and hear and smell, because babies do smell a bit, or maybe that was just the cows. But it was his physical presence that made them celebrate and rejoice and go around the whole of Bethlehem the next day telling everybody what had happened. We might not be able to see or smell Jesus as a baby or in any other physical way, but their story tells us something about his God's interest and concern in us and our ordinary lives as well. God sees us. He knows where we are, just as he knew exactly where those shepherds were. And he is able, in a spiritual way, to draw physically close to us. His Holy Spirit in us, as we invite Jesus into our hearts, the Holy Spirit comes in a physical way. It's a spiritual physical way, but it is physical. We were talking about this earlier in the week, and Carol Jarvis shared with me a moment of Jesus' presence with her. She sat down to have a nice cup of tea and a Christmas cake that she'd bought for herself, and just quietly, Jesus seemed to whisper to her spirit, "Are you sure that that's gluten-free?" And so she got up and checked the box and found that it wasn't gluten-free. Jesus' physical presence in her, her ability to hear him because she was attentive to his voice, Jesus' physical presence through the Holy Spirit in her directed her away from something that would have made her ill. At Christmas, we remember that Jesus comes in order to tell us that he's interested and concerned about our ordinary life. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is that Emmanuel in our lives each and every day. Throughout his life, his teaching, his parables, his healings, his physical presence had a huge impact on those people who met him, the 12 disciples, the women who followed them everywhere. All of those who heard Jesus' message were impacted one way or another by it. But it wasn't that that faith and that impact stopped when Jesus died. When his physical presence left and was after his resurrection, he was exalted to heaven. It didn't even stop then. It didn't stop when those disciples who had physically met him and experienced the physical presence of Jesus, when they died, the message carried on. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is continually present with us and he brings the presence of Jesus into our hearts and lives. And so this Christmas, I want to suggest that perhaps we find some time today to engage in a fresh and deeper understanding of God's Emmanuel love for us. For us to consider how much God understands our pain of being separated from our loved ones, because he was separated in sending his son. And then when his son died on the cross, that eternal separation of God somehow, we don't fully understand it. But he understands what that is, that separation. He understands that pain. And he wants so much to be near to us, to have that physical contact with us, to do face to face with us, that he let Jesus die on the cross in order to make it possible for us to have the physical presence of the Holy Spirit in us now while we live on this earth, but live also in the hope of that eternal face to face physical presence with God, which we cannot even begin to imagine. The Bible tells us in all of these gloriously descriptive passages about rainbows around thrones and covered in gems and precious stones of every colour. But even that doesn't go anywhere near to describing what it's like to be face to face with God. But all of this is wrapped up in our Christmas celebration. God, Emmanuel, God with us, is what Jesus comes to do and to be and to bring and continue to bring throughout history. And so as we sit in whatever we're doing this afternoon to eat meals, to open more presents, to spend time with those people in our household, let's take a moment just to be really aware of Jesus' presence with us in that. Jesus, who can come close to us safely during COVID. He is present with you to meet you today. He wants to give you his love, joy, peace, his forgiveness and restoration, his comfort and his hope. Jesus, who, because he was a helpless, powerless baby, understands what it is to feel those things in the face of difficulty and simply has to live through it. Jesus, who is present as a wise counselor to guide and advise you. Jesus, who is present as the mighty God, who wants to empower you with gifts and strength and courage and all kinds of things to enable you to do things that are not humanly possible, but with him, all things are possible. And Jesus, who comes and is present with you as the Prince of Peace, bringing his calm into each and every storm, inwardly and around us, to lead you into being a peacemaker for others around you today as well. And so let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your physical presence when you entered our humanity so that you could reach us perfectly. Thank you that you understand our sadness at the lack of physical presence with one another today. And thank you that although we may not fully understand it, your physical presence is with us still today. May we know it so deeply that we are able to let it fill us up and overflow from our hearts to those with whom we will connect with, online or in work or in our streets, neighbourhoods and friendship circles. Lord Jesus, may you be glorified again, our Lord, our Saviour, and our friend, Emmanuel. Amen.